Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour here on the Hockman and Crowder program. And I'm live in Sunrise, beautiful Sunrise, Florida. Panthers opener tonight. Crowder is in New Jersey, New York. Who are you out there to interview? You someone for the pivot? Can you share, or is it hush-hush?
We're doing a three-man show and have the potential of having the best basketball player with the smallest trophy in the history of time made for him.
The best basketball. Oh, who just got, was it Allen Iverson that just got that tiny little trophy?
Statue.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Tiny little statue.
The little statue. Never mind. I'm sorry. Not trophy. The smallest statue for a man that played basketball at a high level.
Mike Cugno is here blurting along as we go along. Mike Cugno from CBS4 and Dolphins Weekly Live. What'd you say? Put on weight?
Look at him, man. Is that the same size? You got like a smaller shirt or you put on weight? One of the two.
Both?
I mean, he didn't put on weight. He's but just like more weight. Cut. Like more cut. Weight. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, it's good weight, Hall. I'm not talking about your type of weight. I'm not talking.
My
about
weight it. Is. I sent him a picture last night as I was watching the hockey. I was watching Monday Night Football. Yeah. I sent him a picture. I was drinking the Oreo Coke Zero because I know it drives him crazy.
I sent him back the diabetes guy.
Yeah, he sent me back Wilford Brimley. Diabetes. And now Tree is offering Cugno our tray of caramel apples and cheese. And he's got the shakes. Cugno got the shakes all of a sudden. By the way,
sugar in my vicinity.
The Coke Zero. Oh, look at this. We have a special visitor here at our broadcast table. Do you know what is in that case, Cugno?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
That's got to be Lord Stanley.
That is the Stanley Cup. Look at Bryce is here looking good, man. We're live on the air, but go ahead. I mean,
white glove treatment.
Unveil this thing. I'll put the camera around so you guys can see it as well. We have a little special treat that is happening right here at our live broadcast. This is tremendous. Look at this. Cugno's excited.
I'm super pumped.
Look at this. How's my camera work? Look at that. There it is. The Stanley Cup has joined us here on 560 WQAM. This is, look, here's the ring. Crowder, here's Bryce's ring. Look at that.
Man,
that
Bryce.
Is one badass ring. Holy mackerel. Hey, you guys do like headlines or something. Cugno and I are going to take pictures with this cup here.
Bucket list for me.
This
you're
is
walking away.
Great. Look at, bring we, it over here. Look at this. They're bringing it over here. Can we put it right here? Got it. Oh, they're going somewhere else. Well, let's take a picture. They got a million things to do. Tree, go ahead. You take a picture with your camera or something.
What are you doing?
Kind of gives you
is exciting.
Gives you an idea of where radio stands, where they just bring the cup over like a drive-by with Lord Stanley, and then they're going to go to the TV people.
It's amazing. No, what are you talking about, Solana? This is a moment right here.
Now
how about that?
Tree's just taking
a picture of the trophy. I want to be in the picture, Tree. No, I got one with Cugno. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, man.
The Stanley Cup. I mean, Cugno, did you have any idea? We knew. Did you have any idea when they came over here that you were going to have a moment with one of the most iconic trophies in all of sports?
I had no idea it was going to be. I knew it was here. I knew it was in the building. I knew we were going to see it a few times tonight. But I didn't know when I sat down in this chair that it would finally be worth it. it felt like 10 years of radio.
It finally paid off. That was actually very cool. It was very exciting. I think on the camera right now you see Tree's hand.
Yeah. There you go. Look at that. It's a good-looking hand tree.
Not a lot of things I've wanted in my life.
I got you.
That was something that I would love to be.
That was cool. That was cool. That was neat. Well, we appreciate the Panthers stopping by and tree. He can get us on the air, but he can't hook up the phone.
when you watch this video back, the best part of Lord Stanley is tree working the camera. Yeah.
Here you go. Yeah. Here you go, tree. Just put it right there. We'll get Cuno back on camera in time of our lives. Look at that.
Now I feel comfortable.
What a moment. What a moment.
Off camera, I feel super awkward.
Look at that.
He had some upper body days. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, no. Cuno looks good, man. I mean, he is. And I send him videos all the time because I'll sit on the couch at night.
You don't want to know what those videos are.
I watch my 600-pound life, and I send him what I'm watching, and he's like, what do you get out of this?
Well, no, it's jacking up my algorithm on YouTube because everything he sends me, and you know, it's just I'm curious, so I have to open it. And before I know it, I'm still in the work parking lot on my way out, and I've been there for 15 minutes.
Can't stop watching, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, but I've asked Crowder before, like because Cuno's going to find this insulting.
Speaking of champs.
Look at that. Adeline, champion.
What's going on?
So excited. Hey. I mean, we're doing live radio, Cuno. I mean, what are we doing here? How about that? She's all excited. The cup came over. We did great.
Yeah.
We did great.
It did. It was super exciting. Where's your ring? I know you have a ring.
What are you doing? An interview
with
Adeline?
Sorry.
No, we're trying to do a segment.
Sorry.
Cuno just took over. Have a great season, Adeline.
Cuno's getting some
content in. My bad. People come over and say hi.
Cuno's texting right now. Put that on my reel. I want that. What was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying.
600-pound life.
600-pound life. I don't know. Regardless, let's get headlines because we don't have a ton of time with Cuno, and we got to do all our stuff. What do you think about Robert Saleh being fired by the Jets? This is what I said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Couldn't you possibly see that as a harbinger of things to come for the Dolphins, where Woody Johnson looks at that team, goes, I did everything I need to do. I put together a roster. I got a good quarterback. Defense is fine, and it's not working. I'm saying you got to wait till Tua comes back. I'm not talking about with a backup.
Right.
A few more weeks. Solana's point yesterday was he doesn't think the Dolphins are any better when Tua comes back. I disagree.
No,
I disagree
with that, No. Hold on. To be fair, not that they're not any better from the version we're seeing. I still don't think, Cuno, even with a healthy Tua, that this roster was constructed to go beat the elite teams in the AFC.
Well, you said they're a bad football team.
They're definitely hockey team.
Yeah. They're a bad football team even when Tua comes back.
No, not that they're bad, that they're just not an elite team. That we saw them with Tua for a full healthy game, and then we saw it for two quarters and change, Cuno, against Buffalo, the team that they have to be able to beat. And to me, it didn't look any better than it did last year. They were 1-6 against playoff teams, even with a healthy Tua, healthy Teron, a healthy team. I just don't think this roster stacks up against the elite teams.
Let me say a couple things. I've seen the Dolphins team with Tua beat Josh Allen and the Bills before, and then get blown out in the next game. Like they go back and forth with those. But to your point about the Jets, I don't ever want to follow the Jets in anything they do. So is it a harbinger?
But
I will never follow the Jets lead.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying I don't think that Stephen Ross and Woody Johnson are that dissimilar at their points in their careers. Woody Johnson, he's tired of being a laughing stock, right? And he went out and got Aaron Rodgers.
But this is what makes the Jets that laughing stock.
But the Dolphins are a bigger laughing stock right now. They're a bigger laughing stock. They haven't won a playoff game in 24 years.
It looks like you have your quarterback running the show in New York, and that's
but he obviously is. He obviously is.
But you can't operate like that.
But LeBron operates that way wherever he goes.
And what happened? And he left Cleveland after he got all his friends paid, right? I mean,
You have a small window with Aaron Rodgers. He's getting old. Like, you have a small window, so let him do it.
But
bring in who he wants.
But to me, it seems like a panic move. I mean, what are you going to get out of a interim head coach that you wouldn't have gotten out of the guy who brought that guy in? So it was the least surprising move I think I've ever seen with the Jets, because I think this is just right up their alley.
And Mike, but to that point, so but even what you're saying, Robert Saleh was 20-36. Mm-hmm. Right now, Mike McDaniel's 22-17. So the success is there. It's just the postseason. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. It's Anna Solana's point, is what he always says. We'll get to the postseason, but we'll get our ass kicked. But is there any chance, like Hawk's saying, Mike, the harbinger of – because it made me think about it. When they fired Saleh, I'm like, if Tua comes back and this team is still under 500, would that even come up in anybody's mind that McDaniel might not be the right guy?
I'm not sure this is the year to necessarily say that. Although, the offense has certainly had its issues. I mean, the fact that a couple games ago they couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage. Obviously, there was a lot of, undisciplined football being played. And we've seen that a couple of times. But when you lose your quarterback and you go through the injuries that this team is still going through, I'm still not ready to hit that button. I mean, they just gave the guy an extension. Are you just going to...
I'm not ready to eat. Like, right. I'm not a proponent of it.
I'm not ready because I've seen what it looks like when it's working with McDaniel and Tua. So I've seen both sides of it. And I kind of want to see the side, continue to see the side that kept getting the Dolphins to the playoffs, which is what was working the last 2 years and where just injuries derail them. And Solana, maybe to your point, is depth maybe their biggest issue in terms of being one of these elite teams where they can have the next wave of guys come up? To me, that's where I would look at this. Is like, you've got the star power. You've got that frontline talent. Make sure you're going out and building the team behind them as well, so when there is a guy who goes out, the drop-off isn't that far.
Because what does happen if Solana's right? Mm-hmm. Let's say they're a mediocre. Is mediocre fine, Solana? Like, if they end up, 9-8, like,
yeah. I mean, to me, that's worst case scenario. You right. built a team so, that's good enough to beat bad teams, but not good enough to beat good teams. That's the worst place to be in.
So they're 9-8 mm-hmm. at the end of the season. Maybe they're a wild card team. Maybe they're not. But what do you do if you're Stephen Ross? Now you're going to go into year four. And again, I'm not a proponent of this. I'm a huge fan of Tua, and I'm a huge fan of Mike McDaniel. But you could understand where Stephen Ross, like Woody Johnson, just getting impatient and saying, wait a second, I gave you the quarterback, and it's Chris Greer, too, that really needs to be part of the conversation, but I gave you the big contract for the quarterback. We got the best wide receiver in football. We've done everything that you wanted to do. You wanted contract extensions for Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey, and we did everything. Where is my ring?
I get it. But 9-8 with the caveat, and it's part of it that your quarterback was out for 4 or 5 weeks. That's part of it. Two more wins, and all of a sudden you're 11-6, and you feel a lot better about that. You possibly win a division at 11-6 the way this division's going right now. I think you have to look at it with all the information and all the context you can before you start making snap judgments and then all of a sudden just kicking people out of South Florida.
All right, Mike Cugno is with us here. I didn't know if Crowder had another question there.
I was looking down because I was doing research on the wins and losses, but I was going to say, is this quarterback situation, what happens when Tua comes back, Mike? Is it Tyler Huntley backing him up? They have Tim Boyle on practice squad. Now Skylar Thompson, does he have a chest injury? Like, how does this work out? Hopefully, Tua, because we still got to play Indy. We have a bye. We got to play Indy. Zone the game. How do you see this working out at quarterback?
Well, to me, Tyler Huntley, I mean, just from his first game to the second game, it wasn't great, but you saw
it was noticeable.
Noticeable improvement, right? Yeah. You saw things he could do, keep plays alive, all of that stuff. I like the idea of him being the backup while Skylar is, getting healthy. If Tua does come back, I think I feel better about the backup situation if Tua were to get hurt again. And again, this is...
Tyler, not Skyler.
Yeah.
Tyler, Huntley.
I'd go Tyler 2, Skyler 3. Yeah.
But
that's the way I would go.
But that's a big knock on Chris Greer and, if it was Mike McDaniel, their decision-making in the backup situation. If the guy who is in his, third season that you've coached... and you know what he can do and what your offense is, and you chose him over others.
Right.
Like, if you found out in one game that he wasn't the guy, and a guy who you just signed, 3 weeks into the season is a better option, that's a big knock on your personnel decisions.
Big knock, dare I say, maybe a good move. I mean, that you were able to go out and identify the right guy to now come in and be the backup. They should have addressed it. It needed to be addressed in the offseason. And you guys kept bringing up, I know you guys asked me a ton about Ryan Tannehill, and I still don't.
I wanted Josh Dobbs, Pastrnak. I still do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what he did with the Vikings, I mean.
Game changer.
Yeah.
I watched him in preseason. I bet against them. And
how many?
It was terrible.
How many bets did you win because of him or lose because of him?
That alters your decision. I lost a preseason bet because of him. That, by the way, was a harbinger of things to come during the regular season for my gambling.
Betting the preseason is a harbinger of things to come for your general outlook on your future.
Now that reminds me, speaking of my general future, that reminds me of what I was about to say with my 600-pound life, because I've gone down this road with Crowder and Solana before. I have this fantasy, I've had this for years, of becoming obese and bedridden and just watching TV all day and having people bring me food.
Yeah.
And I know Crowder understands it, but Mike is probably going to be mortified at this.
Already mortified with this going.
But sometimes I watch that show and I'm like, I don't know, is that the worst existence? You watch TV, your loved ones enable you, so they keep bringing you stuff, and is it so bad? But the question that I was going to ask you, which I've asked Crowder before, is if I was in that situation, obviously Lori would have to support us, so she'd be traveling for work, and let's say I've got sores under my flaps, because they need to be cleaned. Would you clean under my flaps?
I would shoot you with a tranquilizer dart, knock you completely out, and go get a fire hose. And just open a window.
So you would help me out.
I would help me out. Yeah.
Yeah, because Crowder was like, no. Crowder.
I'm not even coming over. Mike, yeah, I'm not summarily dismissed up, I'm not coming over. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's nasty. That's your fault.
But we're friends. It doesn't matter at this point.
He has clearly surrounded himself with enablers and yes men, and that includes you, Crowder.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Dude, you came up with spices to make the food taste even better.
I mean, speaking the gospel, you literally manufactured the problem. Had Crowder Powder not introduced the taco seasoning, I probably wouldn't be in this situation because our tacos were mid.
He's putting that stuff on pancakes. Like, this is where he's at.
I just can't do it. I'm not picking up his breast and rubbing underneath the flap.
No one said anything about a breast. It was a flap.
Right. It's a flap. Who knows where the flap is? But, you know, sometimes you get sores underneath there because it needs cleaning and air
and whatever.
I can't afford 24-hour care, and Lori's got a urn, and so I need my friends to come over and clean under the flap.
Crowder, you could have fun with this. You could, like, hide stuff under there, like hide his keys, and then you can't find him. It's like walk around the house looking for his keys.
You've never had that fantasy?
No.
Really?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Look at Mike. Mike went low weight, low reps. I mean, high weight, low reps. Yeah, Mike. I see you, Mike.
You got me. You got me, Crowder.
Yeah. You work out this morning?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felt good.
Mike, are you going to do UFC? Why do you need to be so bulky?
I don't know. The fear of the 600-pound life.
That's funny. So you and I watch the same show, and we have different takes on when we watch it.
Exactly.
You get nervous.
I get motivated.
And I get motivated also.
Right.
It's hard to get to that weight. I mean, that's not easy.
No.
You know, I'd have to switch from Coke Zero to
Coke. I'm uncomfortable talking about this.
I get nauseous.
Will you eat a piece of cheese?
I'll eat an apple.
On the show. How about a piece of cheese?
No.
We have a tray here with some cheese and some apples. Let's see. Tree is bringing over a nice tray. Take an apple, but you have to dip it in the caramel.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
see, that's where they get you.
So you're just having an apple. That's all you're going
to do. And who is they?
Dr. Now from my 600-pound
life. Who's
trying
to get you, Mike?
Big food.
Big food. Big pharma. All right. Do you need to go? Because you've got to go cover the Stanley Cup, even though we got a private show.
I know.
It was like getting a little lap dance, you know? It was like everyone else is
Except
watching.
Except it wasn't. But
everyone
else
is watching the stage. Cup came right over to us, man. Knew where the money was.
No, I miss the cup. I miss it. It talked less.
You didn't see the similarities between that and the table dance?
No.
No? Not at all.
No. not a single.
Coming up to the stage, Stanley.
Lord Stanley. All right. You got to go?
I do.
All right. We're going to let Mike Cuno go. Mike Cuno, CBS 4, Dolphins Weekly Live.
Love you.
Love you too, buddy. Love you too. You want to do headlines, or I guess we'll take a break, Solana, and come back and do headlines? Or you want to do a quick look at headlines and then play that Stanley Cup montage from last season?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, let's do a quick look at the headlines. You can hang around for as long as you want, Cuno. We'll get some headlines here with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
The Panthers did get their rings last night. It wasn't a big...
Cuno was there at the ceremony. What did you think of the rings?
I love the rings. Also love the message Vinny Viola was giving to the players as they're getting them. He told Sam Bennett, hey, we're going to win a bunch of cups with you here. Guy's coming up as a free agent this year, so maybe tipped his hand to
another harbinger.
Let's go.
I don't know if that's a harbinger, actually, now that I say that.
Spell harbinger. Can't use it if you can't spell it.
Would you clean under trees flaps if he got heavy?
Tree would never get heavy.
He couldn't if he tried.
Right. Yeah. Is that how you got the name Tree?
Just being tall? No, but we can show you when we're off the air.
I walked right into that.
Oh, man.
he got a Groot, Mike.
I am Groot over here.
Cuno's like, I could have ducked out two minutes ago. I stuck around.
I stay around for the headlines because Solana's
I also like how I took some ownership of it. Like, we can show you during the commercial break.
His uncle.
I'm the handler. I'm like the keeper of the tree, like the keeper of the cup.
Phil Pritchard over here, the white gloves.
Oh, tree.
Imagine Mike's surprise when they opened up that case.
Talk to you this way all the time.
Damn, tree.
I'm sorry to interrupt so long.
7 p.m. tonight. You got Banner Night, Bruins, Panthers.
I'm uncomfortable sitting this close to him now.
And you're closer than you think.
I know.
Don't look under the table skirt.
The heck is that?
What did I just step on? God. That's not his foot.
Sergei Bobrovsky, leave his goalie stick up here? What is going on? Thank you all for listening to our final broadcast from the Ameren Bank Arena for the season.
You took me down with you. It's so annoying.
Panthers are telling their executives, like, yeah, tune in for a preview show.
We're going to bring the cup over there.
Our radio partners are out doing a show here. Let's tune in.
Most prestigious night in franchise history.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It sounds like they're talking about the engineer's hog.
All right. And...
Mike's gone.
Have some good headlines, Solana.
I kept trying to push it a little further.
Oh, you got it. You got there.
Oh, Mike tried to play the game as long as he could.
It was a game of radio chicken. Oh, God.
The Miami Heat.
This is a great text. Y'all need Jesus.
What are you laughing at, Jimmy?
Jimmy run yacht sometimes.
The Miami Heat have made a major announcement. Their game this Thursday, it was going to be their preseason home opener. They do play tonight in Charlotte. That game has been postponed due to Hurricane Milton. It'll be played next Wednesday at the Kaseya Center, 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
Kaseya Center looks really nice, by the way, guys.
How's that new scoreboard?
Bro, the fireball? Oh, man. It's
a thing
cool of
beauty. It looked cool on TV. The new seats and stuff, new color scheme. Like, it looked really cool on, like, social media.
Yeah, it looked really cool as well. I mean, it's a thing of beauty.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're kind of sitting there and you're just fascinated. Similar to Tree's Hog as well, but you're just...
That was actually the model for the scoreboard. You know what I'm saying, Cunha, right? And there he goes. See you, Mike. Go do the cup thing. You can go. You don't have to stick around for that.
I'll let you, Mike. I got to do it for 4 hours, bro.
It'll be so pleasant when no man sits
down. God bless you, Crowder.
4 hours, Mike.
Tree, stay away from me.
Tree's going to escort you downstairs, but he's not going to leave the chair.
I know what y'all meant. Y'all done ran Mike off.
He's walking away. His head is down. He's sweating.
He's still not far enough away.
Hog. That's a...
Oh, goodness.
Hog. Funny phrase.
Those of you who follow Tony P in DC will greatly appreciate this segment, by the way. But I digress. All right. Heat tonight, Panthers tonight. That's the plan. There's also some baseball tonight as well. It gets started. Phillies and Mets, Game 3, series tied at 5:08 p.m. yesterday. The Royals evened up the series, and the Tigers evened up the series as well. So we've got 4-1-1 series in Major League Baseball. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. I've told you once, I'll tell you every time we do weather today, that Milton is a serious, serious storm. So thinking of everybody out on the West Coast, South Florida is under a tropical storm warning as of a little bit earlier today. So that's the important information. That's your weather.
All right, very good. We're going to relive a little bit of last year's Stanley Cup run to the actual trophy. Solana had put together a montage at the end of the season. We thought tonight it would be appropriate to give it a little bit of love once again. So we're going to do that in the next segment. You'll love this, Panthers fans.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you want to relive Game 7, Crowder? This is Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals. We all know how it ended, but we all remember it was a cakewalk, the Stanley Cup Finals. Remember, first three games, it was a cakewalk. I mean, this was going to be, we were laughing all the way to the cup. And then all of a sudden, if you recall, things went south, and they went south quickly. And we did a show here where we talked about how this would be viewed as one of the greatest mishaps in all of sports history.
Meltdowns, yes.
Yep. And it didn't turn out that way. And hence we get to raise the banner tonight at the Amerant Bank Arena. Here it is, a little look back at Game 7 last year.
Wow. seconds tick away. The Oilers win game six. 5-1 is the score. This series is even at three games apiece. There's going to be a game seven on Monday in Sunrise. The Oilers force this thing back to South Florida for a game seven on Monday.
I think sevens are just a completely unique animal. I don't think it relates in terms of pressure to anything because there is no tomorrow.
You treat it as one game. Nothing in the past matters now. All that matters is tonight, and we have an opportunity to do something special. So that's our whole mindset, our whole focus, and it's all that matters.
Puck's going to drop, and it's the game of hockey that gets played, so that's priority.
Most teams, when you lose three, a playoff series, you don't have a chance at another game, and somehow both of us have an opportunity still. So very exciting, kind of leave it all out there. Desperation on both sides. It all comes down to this.
Comes down to one game. The rest is, you know, history, and, you know, again, we get this win. The rest, you know, doesn't matter.
Well, it's a hockey game, which is the most brilliant part of all this because there's so much else attached to it, isn't it? But when you think about lifetime careers and opportunities, whether it's in sport or not, you're going to have a handful of unusual days, and I mean that in a very good way, right? Special days. Game seven in the Stanley Cup final is it.
You know, the build-up throughout this whole season and throughout the whole playoffs comes down to this, so I'm expecting it to be as loud as any building I've ever heard in my life.
They can just drop the puck and play hockey, and that will be a nice thing for them.
This is it, folks. This is what it's all about. One game. There is no tomorrow. This is for the whole Magilla, for the whole Ball of Wax, for the whole Kit and Caboodle, for the whole Enchilada, the whole Shooting Match. This is for all the marbles.
Fans to their feet as Roberto Luongo bangs the drum to get us started here tonight as we get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Panthers and the Oilers, the 18th Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final in the history of the National Hockey League. The Panthers took the first three games. The Oilers took the last three. We'll see who takes the decisive one here tonight.
Either it's the first championship in Florida Panthers team history since their inception in 1993, their first championship ever, or one of the most epic collapses in the history of postseason sports. The consequences for tonight's game are epic.
And we are off and running here in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Verhaeghe, far side of the ice, down to the corner. Verhaeghe works the end boards then, has it the trapezoid. Rodriguez near side, the power play's over. Shot tip, they score! Rodriguez got it on net! It was tipped out in front, and the Panthers have the first one here in Game 7. 15:33 to go in the first, and the Panthers are on the board. It was Carter Verhaeghe in front getting a stick on it.
We grinded so hard for the last 2 years, and to get to this point, it's just a surreal feeling, and I'm so proud of everyone. We earned it. That's how it feels.
Hook the right point for CeCe. Down along the board, then Dreisaitl. Fogel cuts out front, and a save by Bobrovsky, and then it's pushed away out of harm's way by Kulikov, and the Panthers break it out quickly. Here's Reinhardt at the right wing side. Reinhardt to the right circle. A shot, and he scores! Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers a 2-1 lead here in Game 7. 4:49 to play here in the middle frame. And Sam Reinhardt out of the right circle gives the Panthers the lead.
It's something you dream about. I mean, it's to cap it off like this, obviously the toughest 12 days of our lives, honestly.
Dreisaitl up top, Ekholm across one time, Bouchard save made by Bobrovsky with the pad, up to the line again, Bouchard, he'll hold it for the Oilers, long shot in front of chance, whacked at, and somehow, some way that stays out of the net.
Oh my goodness, wow.
What a pile up down there, and somehow Bobrovsky on top of it, and Zach Hyman looked like he had a wide open net, and he wasn't able to cash in, and the Panthers remain up a goal with 7:02 to go here in the third.
I've paid my dues. Time
23 seconds left. 2-1 Carolina Panthers. Fans to their feet. Bouchard has missed Dreisaitl. Down to our right. Forsling in the corner. He'll try and hold this. 10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making.
Yeah!
Is a reality.
Oh!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
The Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, we crossed the finish line, buddy. We crossed it. Oh, what a group of bunch of guys. Paul Maurice, congratulations. Oh, what a team. What a gutsy effort. That is some cojones, boys. Wow. Oh.
They did it. The team from the start of training camp had one goal, and that was to get back to the Stanley Cup Final and finish the job. Mission accomplished. The Florida Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions. Soak it all in.
We are the champions, my friends.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys. Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.